Hey, you're listening to The Bitters Pill. This is a free refill, so to speak, of an old premium pill episode. This is episode number 123. The Bitters Pill is a Paxil. I think it's the one where I'm trying to wean myself off of antidepressants at a podcasting conference, something like that. I don't know, man. It was a long time ago. Listen, it's weird to relive this. Trust me. So, this is all part of the new Bitters Pill where we're putting out the old premium shows for free. If you want to get all of these premium shows from the first year of the pill, go to thebitterspill.com and you can purchase Pillbox. Or you can get Pillbox 2, which is the second year of the premium pill. In the meantime, please enjoy this episode 123 of The Bitters Pill. The Bitterest Pill is a Paxil. I can kind of sense that my brain is floating in space above my shoulders, but sometimes occupying and sometimes not occupying the same space as my skull.
My daddy may now make an announcement. Listening to The Bitterest Pill.
I don't feel like talking right now. I gotta admit it. I don't feel like talking. I don't feel like talking to you right now. Well, it's not that I don't feel like talking to you. I just don't. Do you ever feel like not talking? Yeah. This is what happens every time. See, this show will be released, and, you know, I hesitate to call it a show because so far in my head, it's just a list of things that I'm going to try to talk about for a long time. But what happens before we go away all the time is I get sick of being with the kids, really just absolutely fed up with being with the kids right before we're going to leave home and go somewhere where I'm going to have to be with the kids even more than normal. And I know we're going to paradise on earth. We're going to Hawaii. We're going to the Big Island, to Kona. We're going to be staying in the lap of absolute luxury in a 15-star hotel on the ocean. Supermodels, actresses, the rich, hobnobbing with me, bald little pot-bellied Dan, angry little stay-at-home dad. I'm not used to sitting poolside drinking whatever you're supposed to drink in Hawaii while the kids frolic in the pool. I sit in my corner of the garage under the flight path. What do I know? And so I'm dreading it. I know we're going to have a fun time. I know. But you know what? I'm dreading going to Hawaii and being somewhere where you have to, you know, you must have a lot of money if you're there. You must have a lot of money for there, or you must be married to someone that's there for business. You know, like that little guy right there with the kids. If he wasn't with two children who seem to be quite comfortable with him, we'd kick his ass right out of here. He must be the Manny. That's what it is. He must be the Manny. And I'll tell you exactly why I don't feel like talking. It's the anticipation of the trip. Not even really being with the kids. I mean, that'll be fine. But it's just the general, you know, whatever. But also, if you want to put yourself in a really fabulous mood and you have any kind of body issues whatsoever, spend a couple of hours down at your local sports clothing store trying on skin-tight swimming shirts. Call them what you want. Rash guard, swim shirt. You know what I'm talking about, right? Body gloves. Several companies make these shirts for men and women that you can swim in so you don't get the skin burned off you. Now, I'm going to be with two young minors. I do not trust them to lather up my back. You know, I don't want to put that on them. And so, and plus, anything to hide, just hide. My hirsute, flabby, white, disgusting, horrible body. And I don't want to wait till I get there because I did that the first time we went to Kona and I ended up spending, I think, $60 on one of these idiotic shirts. What I didn't know about the $60 idiotic shirt is the way that it's cut is perfect for a guy who doesn't really want to wear a skin tight shirt around for 5, 6, 7 days. Somehow it had a little give in the mid. You know what I mean? You need a little mid give sometimes. And so what I've been doing is trying to find, because I usually wear a medium, maybe a large, but usually like if I buy a regular shirt with a collar, I get a medium. It's maybe a little snug, you know where, but otherwise, hey, whatever. I'm a medium. I'm not large. I'm not a large guy, therefore I don't wear a large. Sometimes I wear a large. In these tight swimsuit shirt thingies, you know, the little blonde girl with the portable cappuccino yesterday at the place said, oh yeah, you know, if you don't want it to be too tight, maybe go up one size, but not two sizes. You don't want to really go up two sizes. That's just, you know, that's not going to be right. I got an extra, extra large. I got an extra, extra large. I don't care. I don't care. Listen, I'm not built like a superhero. I'm sure as hell not going to dress like a superhero. And you know, that's why superheroes dress like that. I don't think it's for fighting crime. It's because they've got the physique. You might as well wear skin tight clothing. You know, maybe if I had the physique, I would have no problem wearing skin tight clothes or being naked all the time, just walking around with a thong on. Not thong with, you know, and the really sad thing is, I think I'm on like 2 or 3 years now of feeling like I need to get it together and I just haven't. And I've said this before, every time I say, Dan, you're going to get it together. Today is the day you're going to really regiment your diet. And as soon as I make that proclamation, I'm in the fridge. And I've got it so intertwined with my low blood sugar situation, my self-medication through food, that it's just a big disastrous mess. Compounded by the fact, now listen, I don't want to tell you everything about what I'm going to tell you, because I'm not ready to talk about it all. It's not, you know, some things you have to get through before you can talk about them. This is one of those things. However, I'm through part of it, and in the middle of part of it, I have to at least say this. So basically, okay, I've always been somewhat against, at least in theory, mood elevating drugs. Antidepressants, all that sort. Obviously not your antipsychotics. I'm all for antipsychotics. If you are a psychotic, you should be on anti, okay? But I remember a friend of mine was getting divorced, and his, you know, soon to be ex-wife was saying he needed to be on antidepressants. I was like, dude, you don't have to be on antidepressants. Sometimes you get down when your career isn't going well. You've had a bad day, you're down, and then, you know, you buy a new Squeeze CD and you're back up. You skateboard, you're up. You find out that someone just sold a script exactly like the one you're writing, you're down. That's not antidepressants. That's just living in Hollywood trying to do what you do. But I was really worried that he was going to do it, because I thought, you know, once you start taking those things, man, when do you stop? Like how and when do you stop? But you know what? Maybe if that's your body chemistry, and I always worry that I have a little bit, little tiny, just a little dash of depression, you know, just to keep my life kind of full of flavor. There was an article in Newsweek about sadness and the benefits of sadness and depression. You know what? I was just too, to read it. You know what I mean? I gotta find that. I don't know. You know what I mean? Do you really need to read? Well, this thing that I'm not, here's the story. And, it, you know, I hate to even say how long it's been, but like, gosh, it's maybe even been a year ago. I get really desperate about this situation that I'm in. This personal situation that I cannot bring myself to discuss. You know? I don't want to get into it, okay? But I feel like I have to get into it a little bit so you understand where I am right now, which is this. For a year or so, I've been on antidepressants. Very low-grade dose of antidepressants for this incredibly personal thing that wasn't actually directly related to depression. But I thought, you know what? If this is going to help out this other thing, And maybe there's a little benefit of me, you know, losing that dash of whatever it is. If that's going to help, hey, listen, bring it on, baby. Bring it on, because I do tend to kind of, you know, sometimes get a little caught up in the muck and mire. Not every lousy day gets put through the funny filter. Sometimes you just, you know, and you kind of get, you know what I mean? You're dragging a big sack of duty behind you. And I thought, listen, if I can take a tiny little low grade dose of antidepressants, that's going to help this situation and, you know, relieve me of the albatross that I sometimes feel I'm carrying around. Let's do it. And I'll admit, I'd gotten desperate. Okay. But I said, look, two birds, maybe one stone. Bring it on, brother. And I tried to get over this little thing other ways, other medications, other this, other that. It wasn't working. It's either not working at all or I'm lying on the bathroom floor praying to God not to die. You know, somebody prescribes some sort of weird little cocktail to you and the next thing you know, you're like, please, God, I have no more clothes to take off. Someone has got to stop the bathroom from spinning. But the doctor said, listen, me giving you this little... And I forget where we started. Was it Xanax or Zoloft? I've been on tiny low grade. I've been all around the block, baby. Listen, I'm going to give you this tiny little dose of whatever Zoloft. I don't want to name names because it's not you, it's me. But and you know, it should. You're not really a depressed guy. You just really aren't. Textbook wise, so it's not going to mess you up that way. But it may help this other thing. So I started taking it and, you know, I feel pretty good. A couple of days, feel pretty good. Maybe I even feel, holy cow, you know, I might even feel for just a moment. Dare I say, optimistic, you know, I actually begin to feel somewhat optimistic and, wow. Okay. And just as the optimism kicks in, maybe a day or two later, holy cow, I think I'm having a reaction. maybe I OD'd on optimism. I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to lie down for a little while and don't anybody speak to me for the rest of the day. Okay, got it? Are we all clear? You sons of bitches, leave me alone. But that I kind of got over that. You're not really weird that I just said sons of bitch. Come on, get over it. Holy cow. You must live in a nunnery if you can't even hear that. I control my language more than they do on the networks. Please. Oh my gosh, you and your virgin, your ears should be a minister. They're so untouched. So that you know, that comes and goes. And really, then suddenly now I'm on Zoloft or whatever it is. And again, it's a very minor dose, but it's still, you know, hey, listen, I'm putting something into my system every day. Putting something in my system every day for something that it's not actually helping with. Okay, doc, listen, baby, this isn't helping. This isn't helping me at all. Well, let's up your dose. Sure, why not? Sure, let's up the dose, because you can see the desperation in my eyes. Let's up the dose. Absolutely. Okay, this isn't working. This isn't... Okay? Buddy, listen, you said this was going to work. See, we're riding the side of one of the side effects of Zoloft here, okay, that I don't want to get into. I can't get into it. Do you understand? You can figure it out. Do me a favor and just figure it out on your own and leave me alone. But we're trying to ride the side effects. Guess what? I'm not getting the side. What am I, Superman for the side effects of Zoloft? Give me a break. You know what we should do? Let's raise your dose. So we do it again, three times. Now suddenly I'm probably on a full... I'm like, seriously, am I on like a psychotic level of Zoloft here? We're going to destroy my little stupid podcast. You realize that? If I'm suddenly overwrought with optimism and feelings of good health, brotherhood for all men all the time, I'm a goner. Now, if I have a little optimism peppered with my normal cynicism, that's how it works. It's a balance. It's a yin and yang. It's cynicism and optimism. If it's all optimism, if you kill my podcast, I swear to God. Well, actually, I'll probably be in too good a mood. I won't do anything. I'll probably thank you, pat you on the back, and I'll be yet another anesthetized American wandering around. When's American Gladiator on? I got to set my TiVo. So we finally get to a point where I think we've raised it, you know, from a teeny tiny bit to kind of a bit to a little more of a bit. And again, I don't even know if I'm on. Suddenly I was on psychotic levels of that. And maybe we'd even switched or something. I feel like, and that wasn't even the first doctor. There was the one doctor that had me on the floor of the bathroom spinning around. That came and went. So then this guy. So eventually, so this has all been like very nice, chatty. Oh, well, you know, So we go in and now we've already done it three times and I go in and he just goes, so it's not working. All right, I got to refer you. Hey, what happened to all the peachy keen hunky? This is not going to be any big sweat. This is no big deal. You've handled this a million times. Suddenly, I can't help you. I'm going to have to refer you to someone downstairs. Are you okay? Really? So, okay. Wow. See, this is suddenly becoming a much bigger deal than even it was before. Can you see how this is? Can you not? You really can't help me with this. We can't do this. So he refers me to a guy downstairs. So the guy downstairs says, it's like a $500, $600 initial consultation fee. Oh, God. See, this is the problem with having doctors that close to Beverly Hills. As soon as they're that close to Beverly Hills, they suddenly think, you know, hey, what's $600? Oh, my God. But you know what? I'm desperate. Okay. You know what? All right. We got to tackle this thing that's killing me. Okay. Yeah. You want $600? Here's $600. Here you go. What do you got for me? Okay. I want you to stop taking the Zoloft. How much are you taking? We're going to wean you off of that and we're going to get you on something else. It's better. The side effects are more pronounced. We can screw you up even better because now you're in my care. So start taking Paxil. Paxil is so much better than Zoloft. Tell you what. I'm going to write you a prescription. Right. Scribble. Now, what you need to do is stop taking the Zoloft, and then we're going to wean you off that. We're going to get you on the Paxil. And this is going to help me, Doc. Yes, it is. You take the Paxil, and you do this, and you do that, and you're going to be fine. By the way, did I mention it's $600 every time you come in here? Oh, no. Now, listen, I could have sworn that the guy said that I'm supposed to take my Paxil every day. Could swear. That's what he said. But then later on, it comes to my attention that he may have said, he thinks, according to his recollection, that I wasn't supposed to take it every day. That I was supposed to take it as needed. Or as the assumption of need may arise. Okay? Well, which is it, Doc? Because guess what? I'm taking Paxil every damn day. Every day I take one of your Paxils. So what? Now I'm on Paxil? And guess what, Doc? Ha ha! Got news for you. Side effects? Not happening. I'm not better. It's not helping me. What are we doing here? So Melissa and I start freaking out now about the cost and the fact that this guy and I have had some sort of big misunderstanding, which wouldn't normally be so bad if you and your doctor have a slight communication breakdown, except the communication breakdown has resulted in me being essentially addicted to Paxil. Okay. Great. So now I'm, for no reason other than I am maybe ever so slightly more optimistic than usual. Something that could be cured by about two or three emails from listeners to the podcast, right? It's about that much more optimistic. That's really, it's either Paxil or three emails. You know, I can arrange for three emails. I can hire interns to write me three fake emails for five, you know. So, you know, time passes. So September comes. And it's time for, you know, every year I go to the, what is now, I don't even know what it's called now, the New Media Expo. Is that what it's called? Basically, it's this big convention thing for podcasters, video podcasters, audio podcasters, people that make equipment and software and try to buy advertising, sell advertising, all these people. We all go and basically I hang out with my friends for a couple days. Friends that I don't see because they're not here, or maybe they are here, but I still never see them. It's basically a really great excuse to hang out with my friends from LA that are in podcasting. So September is coming. September's coming, and we've kind of committed, we being Hudson, my son Hudson and I have committed to finishing an episode of our new puppet show before the New Media Expo, our puppet show ARF. Well, we're way behind schedule, and I get it in my head that we got to replace one of the puppets, because it's one of the puppets that I have to work, and it's very difficult. It's this gigantic stuffed bear that I decided we could just turn into a puppet and that would be no problem. So basically 2 days before the expo, I fire Big Barry and we got to make Little Barry. Now the thing's shot, half of it's cut together. I think there's even a rough cut and I'm firing puppets. So I fire the puppet, I'm driving and I'm going back and forth. We're still working on this. Literally, it's the day before the expo. I go to Ontario. The expo's in Ontario. That's about an hour from LAX. I basically drive from LAX to Ontario Airport. Who knew I would be spending so much time so close to baggage claim? And I have to drive back and forth because I'm supposed to give a little talk on something at the Podcast Academy. And I'm not feeling well. Maybe I was sick, or maybe it was just from being up so late. I forget what it was. But literally, we're sewing. I think Melissa sewed the real Barry, new Barry, little Barry together as I'm driving back from Ontario. And then she had to go somewhere and I get Barry and I reshoot all of Barry stuff by myself. And I go for a little bike ride to get my little tea. And we buy the skin of our chinny chin chins. We make it to the expo on time. For the premiere of ARF. Now, and I mean for the premiere, like no, not even 5 minutes to spare. We literally walk in. Hi, Grant. Because we're doing a thing with Dr. Floyd, right? Hi, Grant. How are you doing? Here's the DVD because I've been working and I'm starting and I've had no sleep. I've had relatively no sleep and I'm feeling just weird. I'm feeling weird and kind of floaty. Wow, man, I'm just burnt out. I'm so glad we're not driving back tonight. Oh, we can just stay at the hotel. I think I called one of the hotels and made a reservation. You know what? We'll go over there and the whole family, my wife, both kids, we're going to hang out in Ontario and spend the night. And the next night we'll get up and we'll find some place to eat and we'll eat and we'll go to the expo. And Grant Pachoco from Dr. Floyd asked Hudson to be in this panel the next day. That'll be so much fun. It'll be so much fun. Well, I wake up the next day and I have this weird feeling, and I guess it's from not sleeping, that my head, how do I put this? My physical head, my skull and the skin around it and the face and the front and the ears on and all that stuff, is the physical head of my body is a split second actually ahead of the contents of my head. Do you know what I mean by that? Like, if I move my head forward 3 inches, it actually gets to the 3-inch mark a split second before my brain. My brain is not actually in my skull. I think my head, I don't know if it's gelatinous or if it's just a hologram, but somehow my brain is actually able to follow my body in some kind of weird kind of Donnie Darko lag. And it's not freaking me out or anything. It's just kind of curious that as I walk, there's just this weird, like if I walk I can kind of sense that my brain is floating in space above my shoulders, but sometimes occupying and sometimes not occupying the same space as my skull. My brain's just kind of lolling around, doing a figure eight above my shoulders. Well, in the hubbub of firing Barry and reshooting and re-editing and doing this and doing that and rushing around and not being able to figure out which hotel I called and not being able to find a hotel in the area that will admit that I called them or that I made a reservation, we got to find a place to sleep and then not, we can't, we got to, I have not taken a Paxil in 3 days. And now I'm wandering around Ontario, completely sleep deprived and going through antidepressant withdrawal. And so we go to the expo and Hudson's going to be in this, he's going to be on this panel. He's going to be on this panel on the expo floor. Now, you know what it's like, it's a convention. So, you know, you go in. And there's some people, they check your tag or whatever, and then you go on this big floor and there are booths and, you know, booth babes and guys hawking stuff and people doing little seminars and people doing little interviews or whatever. And Hudson's going to go in there and do a little thing with Grant Bachoco from Dr. Floyd about kids and podcasting. So we get to the door. And the little gal, you know, checking everybody's tags says, the kids can't come in. Why? No kids are allowed. What are you talking about? There are no kids allowed on the expo floor. Since when? I'm sorry, sir. Okay. Now, I distinctly remember 2 years ago, there were kids on the floor. I remember distinctly speaking with several children on the floor. Babies, toddlers, elementary school, junior high school, all ages on the expo floor. I remember 1 year ago seeing kids because they come to see Dr. Floyd. Or they're podcasters. There's no age, right? And plus, there's really nothing going on. It's not like it's Las Vegas. It's Ontario. I mean, there's a couple of booth babes, but they're just hot-looking girls in heels and t-shirts with some logo on it. And there's nothing going on. There's guys selling microphones. So I say, well, my son, and listen, I'm getting a little PO'd. I'm getting a little PO'd because Hudson is supposed to be on a panel right now. And this woman... Okay, you know what? It's not her fault. I learned something from Kush. Think Kush things I say. He said, never take a no from someone who's not in a position to say yes. So I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to remain calm. My son is supposed to be doing a panel. Who can I talk to? Talk to him. That's my boss, the guy over here. And apparently there's some other people. Oh, that was the thing that really made me furious. So I go over to talk to the boss. Okay. Now the boss is over. He's very close by, but he's over in a way that if I walk over to the boss, I can kind of see where Grant is going to have this interview. Right? Now, this is the weird thing about it is the interview is supposed to start at, let's say, 10. And right now it is about 10:03, 10:05, maybe 10:10. And I look over and this is no fault of Grant's whatsoever. He doesn't know what's going on. I look over and Grant is in the booth interviewing for the podcast he's recording three children. Remain calm. Remain calm. Remain calm. Do not let on that your brain is detached from your skull. Remain calm. Remain calm. But if this big, thick-haired idiot embarrasses me in front of my son about not being able to get in here, I am going to really blow a gasket. I am going to lose it on the expo floor. So I'm really having a hard time keeping it together. Excuse sir. Hi. Okay. My name is Dan Klass. My son, right here, Hudson, is supposed to be doing a panel right now. And the nice woman right over there said he can't get in. She said there are no kids allowed. Now, I see children right over there. Can we please go in? Because time is ticking away. And when 10:30 comes, somebody else is going to get interviewed. It's going to be a different thing altogether. And it's going to be women in podcasting or giants in podcasting or troll. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's not any longer going to be kids in podcasting. And my son has been looking forward to this for, 17 hours now. Anything we can do? What are we doing? Well, there are no children allowed. Okay, can you look over there? Can you see? Over there? Well, I'm going to have to get, I don't know if he volunteers or if I suggest in my nicest voice, can we get Tim Berkwin on the walkie-talkie? That's a walkie-talkie right there. Can we get Tim on the walkie-talkie? Sure. Hey, Tim. Hi, it's Steve from the front. I've got a guy here claiming. Oh, I'd love it when they say that. I love it when they say, that's what the New York Times said to me. Dan Klass claims to not be a drug addict. F you! No, you claimed that I was. Of course, now I am a drug addict. Thanks, New York Times. Now I am one. I'm a Paxil addict. Damn! There's a guy here claims, I'm going to strangle you. You say claim one more time and I'm going to find something sharp in my pocket and I'm going to shove it through your trachea. Claims his son's supposed to be on the floor doing some kind of podcast interview or something. His name is, what's your name? My name is Dan Klass and we're supposed to tick, tick, tick. Do you understand? Can I just talk to Tim? Well, Tim, now listen, Tim, you know, Tim works his ass off to put this thing together. Apparently, there's some insurance thing where kids can't be on the floor suddenly, all of a sudden, this year, the year that my child has shown up. The 1 year, 3 years, 3 years, and my son and my daughter and my wife are here. Notice that they weren't here the first year or the second year, and now they're here. Now they're here, and there's no kids allowed because of insurance. Now, this is where my memory of it gets a little fuzzy, and I'm not going to point fingers because it's irrelevant now. But my memory of it was that Tim said we could go in, do the interview, and then come out. And then we went to the door, and the girl said we couldn't go in. We had to wait for the children that were in to come out. But the children that are in have no reason to come out. So as I'm fuming, Dr. Floyd saves the day. So Doug Price, a.k.a. Dr. Floyd, somehow gets wind of this. I think I've tried to tell Grant that we can't get in, or Melissa went over and talked to Doug. I forget how it happened. But bless you, Doug. So Doug actually says to the other kids that are in there, okay, let's wrap up their interview because we got to get H in here. And I'll admit my ego is involved because I've known Tim for a long time. I could have sworn he said we could go in. I tried to get in. Now we can't go in. And now every moment that I'm in, I'm going to feel guilty that we're in. Like, can't I just swing my name around for 2 seconds once in my life? Get into something that I can't really see any reason for. And I could have sworn he just said we could do this and now we can't do it. So Dr. Floyd essentially is kicking these kids out so we can go in there. Guess what? The interview's over. Podcast time is through. And all this time, I'm coming down off Paxil. Day four. Well, the kids sat and colored. Adam Christensen from the MacCast had these comic books made up as a giveaway. Part of some coloring contest. So the kids sat and colored for a couple minutes so they could kind of feel like they were there. And I ran around the floor getting them trinkets, pins, pens, t-shirts, a couple t-shirts or something. I don't know. And then I had to get them out. Get out. You can't be here. And the insurance waiver does not cover children. My God, what if one of the kids knocked over the girl posing with the guys in front of the Las Vegas exhibit? Do you realize the potential liability? When underage celebrity podcasters cannot get into a podcast expo in Ontario, we got to rethink our insurance decisions. So they left, they went home, and I wandered around trying to act normal. I'm not even sure at what point I realized what was happening. I thought it was all just withdrawal. So I just remember being over, because I wanted to talk to the guys from Blogger and Podcaster Magazine, Larry Jenkins. I wanted to meet Larry. Larry and I had some email correspondence, and I just wanted to say, hi, how you doing? So I go over and I'm just babbling at one of the guys that works for Blogger. I'm just like, hey, I was in your magazine. Where's the issue I was in? And then a woman comes up who I guess was in a cover story. They did a big cover story for Mommies. I'm like, yeah, I like how you didn't have me in that cover story for Mommies just because I have a, you know, an Audi for privates. That's discrimination. When are they going to have a dad pub? What are you doing? Where's Larry? Tell Larry I stopped by. I'm just tired. What's your name, Lenny? Hey, Lenny. What are you doing, Lenny? Is this fun? Are you having fun? Aren't you bored? This must be boring for you. This seems like it would be so boring. Isn't this boring? It's only slightly interesting to me, and I'm a podcaster. You're just a guy from a magazine. Do you need anything to eat? I can just run over there. I'll get you something at the thing. Are you sure? Where's Larry? Dude, I don't even know what he looks like. No, I have no idea. I have no idea. Dan. Tell him Dan came by. Could you tell him Dan came by, Lenny? Where did you get all these magazines? Holy cow, this must have cost you a fortune. Look at the boxes. You've got boxes of magazines. Blogger and Podcaster magazines. This must have cost you a fortune. Aren't you bored? All right, Lenny, listen. Listen to me, Lenny. Lenny, I like you. Lenny, I like you. My head hurts. Do you think they have Diet Coke over there? You know, you got 15 boxes of magazines. There's no one around here giving away Diet Coke. My God, you'd be swamped. You'd have people lining up to take your Coke. Yeah, I guess it's a stupid idea to give away. Ah, my head hurts. Lenny, where's Larry? You know, you guys have almost the same name. Isn't that confusing around the office? Hey, go get me Lenny, Larry. Just get someone. Get him over here. Does that ever? Okay, tell Lenny. Tell Lenny. I just said, see what I mean? I just said, tell Lenny. You're Lenny. Don't tell Lenny. You don't need to tell Lenny. You don't need to tell Lenny because I'm Lenny. I mean, you're Lenny. You're not, I know. You know, maybe I should look for Larry tomorrow. Is Larry here? That's not Larry right there, is it? No, I didn't think so. Because I've said his name like 100 times. I know. I've said Larry, Larry, about 100 times. Lenny, I've said Larry. Where's Larry? 100 times. I like your magazine. Did I ever tell you that? That I do like it? I like it, man. So what do you do all day? You just stand here and people talk to you all day? Behind your table? Oh my God, I would go nuts. What do you do? Like, people come up and talk to you, and you have to just stand there and listen to them no matter how long they talk or what they say? Lenny, seriously, people just stand there and blah, 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 at you all day, like, just blah, 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 like you're a bartender with no drinks. That's what you need, Larry, is some drinks or something. Or something. Yeah, I know, magazine's cool. I like your magazine. Did I tell you that? My head hurts. Lenny, you're from the East, aren't you? Lenny is the perfect name for a guy from the East. From Baltimore. Yeah, see? Lenny, that's awesome. A Lenny in LA is not as cool. I'm going to tell you that right now, Lenny. Lenny. Where's Larry? All right, I gotta go. Lenny, I gotta go. I'm gonna leave you with this woman. Stop looking. Wait, why are you looking at me like that? No, I've not. The bitterest pill. Yeah, I didn't think you had. Oh, how long? Oh, since November 04. But apparently I've been falling down on the marketing because you've never. Okay. Oh, that's cool. All right, Lenny. All right, Lenny, right? Lenny. Okay. Lenny, I'm going to look for you tomorrow, Lenny. Do you understand? Tell Larry I stop by. Will you do that for me? Can you tell Larry? Tell Larry that I stop by. I gotta drive home. Oh, gotta get a Diet Coke and drive home. Hope I don't fall asleep on my drive home. It's an hour, Lenny. I made it home safely. Luckily, I ran into Scott Mercer from bmoviebooks.com. Remember my former sponsor, my iPhone contributing sponsor, bmoviebooks.com. I had to lower the note there at the end in case that's a trademarked Yahoo or whoever. I can't even think of who that is now, but I'm sure that little whatever that note progression is probably trademarked. Anyway, I ran into Scott Mercer. He and I drove back together. We talked about how funny we think Jonathan Colton is, and that was that. But that's how I feel today. Now, I'll tell you why. So I've been on Paxil ever since then, but I take it more religiously. But then I got to this point where I started taking it every other day because I felt kind of normal enough. But then I started to freak out a little bit every once in a while. So I went to my actual doctor, Dr. Cool Ronald Sue. One of the few people that I actually refer to on this program by their real name, Ronald Sue. And the reason I can do that is because I will never, ever say anything bad about my doctor, Dr. Ronald Sue. So I call Dr. Ronald Sue and I say, Dr. Ronald Sue, listen. Dr. So-and-so put me on Paxil. I don't want to be on Paxil anymore because I don't feel good. It's not working. I'm not seeing Dr. So-and-so anymore. Can you recommend another doctor? They can take over and get me off this Paxil. What can we do? So recently, under Dr. Sue's care, I have been weaning myself. We've been weaning myself off the Paxil. He lowered my dose, and then I was lowered again. But he said he does not prescribe for any reason whatsoever under the sun Paxil because... Can you guess why? Because it's really, 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 really hard to get off of it. It's really, 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 really hard to get off of it. So what he did is I was taking, you know, whatever, 20 milligrams. I don't know. All the doctors are like, 20 milligrams of Paxil. My God, what's wrong with you? No, I have no idea. But let's assume. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was on 20 milligrams and he took it down to 10. He said, take 10 for a week, then cut them in half and take that for a week and then call me. And of course, I called him 2 weeks after the day I was supposed to call him because that's how on top of things I can be. Especially when it comes to my health. But the day I called him, I said, you know, doctor, here's the story, man. I had to stay up all night with my daughter the other night. We had to take her to the hospital. She's fine. She's fine. But in all the hubbub of taking her and being up and all that, but I didn't take even my little dose of Paxil. And I haven't taken it like for 4 days. And you know what? I actually feel not so bad. So he says, well, have you been having headaches? Have you been doing this? Have you been doing that? No. I mean, I feel a little, you know, laggy every once in a while. I have my lag, my brain lag. And I try to explain to him my brain lag, that my head is maybe slightly gelatinous and my brain can kind of, you know, whatever. And he said, okay, well, maybe you can make it through this. Really, the toughest days are going to be, you know, the next 2 days, like Thursday, Friday. If you can make it through Thursday, Friday, then I think you're past it. Well, what if I'm not? What do you mean? What's going to happen Thursday or Friday? Well, you know, just, you know, you may be feeling some symptoms. If that's the case, you know, you take half of, you know, take the 5 milligrams, but every other day. But it sounds like you're doing great. Are you doing great? Yeah, I feel fine. You know, not mentioning that I've been completely irrational for 2 days with the children, with the, you know, with the guys being here working. I've been just grinding my teeth down. Didn't mention that. Didn't want to cop to the fact that that was part of the Paxil withdrawal. Because I want to beat the Paxil. I want off it. I want off the Paxil, folks. But here's the thing. You know, I can only, so much. And I hadn't taken any of it since Saturday, I think. Okay, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Today is Thursday. So on the tough day, you know, the tough day, the day, Thursday, Friday, the tough day. The tough day for the Paxil withdrawal is the day that I decide to shove my fat gut into UV protective swim shirts. After telling myself that I was going to lose 10 pounds instead of gaining 5 between the beginning of the new year and today. See, I was supposed to be losing weight, not gaining weight. But since I started withdrawing from the Paxil, I always feel kind of off. And because I have low blood sugar, I've like conditioned myself this weird reaction like, oh, I feel kind of off. I better eat something. I have been eating nonstop for 3 days. I probably gained 5 pounds 2 days before spending a week in a swimming pool with rich people and my kids. And I knew we were going to talk today. And so, you know, I went to this place and I did some shot. You know, I went here and I went there and I tried on the big fat shirts and I bought the shirt that made me want to kill myself the least. Because that's really what it came down to, was which of these shirts makes me the least suicidal? I guess it's the yellow one, the extra, extra large. If I could find a black and extra, extra large, because the blacks don't show the shadows caused by your big gut. And I knew I was going to come out and I wanted to do a show, because this show, I'm recording this now because we're going away. So there's something, right? Okay. And I'm just sitting at my desk and I'm all upset. I'm pissed. Because suddenly my phone won't send email. It'll get email, but it won't send email. Like, what has changed? Now suddenly it won't. The outgoing server, quote unquote, null, cannot be found. Don't give me null. I'm coming down, man. I'm coming down. Don't give me null. I want mail shooting out of my phone. Shoot. This phone is supposed to shoot mail out into, I don't give a crap where, to a satellite, to my Just get it done. Because I'm freaking out. I am a Jell-O head. Can you just send email? And can I find a swim shirt that at least looks passable if I suck in my gut as much as possible? Can I have something to think of to talk about other than Paxil withdrawal? No, I didn't want to. I was going to read to you something that I wrote. What time is it? Yeah, we're done. I can't go on like this anymore. I was going to read to you a couple more excerpts from the book. You know, you enjoyed them so much. No one cared. No one cared. Because you know what? Who wants to listen to someone read that usually doesn't read? Right? I mean, if I always read, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care that I was reading. But you know what? You probably don't want to hear me read. Why would I want to read anyway? I don't want to read. I want to just talk to you. Don't you understand? So I want to go to Hawaii like I want to, you know, I don't even know what. I mean, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I'm going to have fun. Needless to say, I took half a Paxil. I'm going to tell you that right now. I had to. I know. But you know what? I skipped the 5 milligrams every other day step. And this is so, you know what I mean? So I took one today and then I'm going to go back on the weaning. After we get to Hawaii and I can just sit at the pool and grind my teeth and play with the kids in the pool and eat, you know, $19 hamburgers that should cost $5.50. You know, that kind of thing. I really didn't want to take it too. I really didn't want to, but I did get, you know, every once in a while you got to back up. You got to back up and go, hey, listen, are you being a martyr here for no reason? Okay, because you can't keep talking to your wife and kids this way. And you're sitting at your desk, kind of just slumped in a heap, freaking out about what shirt you're going to wear when you're in the pool for free, in a 4-star hotel for essentially free. Well, not free. My wife has to blood, sweat, and tears through work for weeks up to and including our trip. Dude, no one cares what you look like. No one cares. No one's going to notice you. Seriously, they're not there to notice you. No one cares. Your kids don't care. You could weigh 365 pounds. Your kids wouldn't care. They might notice, but they wouldn't care. No one is going to notice that I've gained or lost weight or that I'm freaking out or not. They might notice if I'm being a real jackanape to my children. So I had to decide if I was going to take the Paxil or not, because I didn't want to. I want to just muscle through this and be a martyr and be a man and grit my teeth and somehow eventually get on the other side of this. But I had to step back and I had to listen to what the doctor was saying, which is these are going to be the hardest days and you might not need to barrel through. And I thought back to the way I've been with the kids the last couple of days. Just everything has just been driving me a little too crazy. So I took it. And I feel like it was a setback because I didn't want to. I want to kick it, but I gotta get the kids to Hawaii without wanting to strangle them. You know? I actually let myself yesterday have fun for about 10 minutes. I unclenched through it for about 10 minutes. For 10 minutes, Princess Trooper and I played Rally X. Now, for those of you that are not in their 40s, you probably don't remember what Rally X. Rally X is one of those, you know, 2-bit computer games from the 80s. You know, it's like circa Pac-Man, you know. But for Christmas, Hudson got this, you know, joystick controller thing you plug into your TV and it has Pac-Man, Super Pac-Man, Pac-Man and his pal, and Galaxian, and Dig Dug, and Rally X. And I just played lo-fi video game Rally X with Princess Trooper I'm like, you know what? If I got to take one of these things today so I can play Rally X with her for the next couple of days, get through it, get to Hawaii, land, get used to my my sausage skin swimsuit and the fact that it's okay, that everything's okay. Everything's okay. Nothing's actually wrong. Everything's okay. Just like at the expo, everything was okay. Except I should have shut up with Lenny. Sometimes you got to take a step back to take two steps forward. I know. I didn't want to, but I know. I don't need the Paxil for anything. Because things are clearing up on their own, on all fronts. Things are better on all fronts. Sometimes you have to just decide that things are better on all fronts. You have to close your eyes and picture the way things would be if they were the way you would have them be. Right? You gotta close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. You know what I mean? I'm saying in the future, when you can close your eyes, close your eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. I don't know what you're doing. I'm speaking, you know, not metaphorically, but, you know, generally, close your eyes. And make it so. Picture it. Correct course. Relax. Relax. All right, Lenny? Are we cool, Lenny? Lenny and I are cool. Well, that was weird. That wasn't what I meant. Expected. I was going to read this thing. You don't want to read that. Anyway, hey, thanks for subscribing to the Bitterest Pill. Yeah, I'm in Hawaii right now over it. Enjoying myself. I'm having a great time. Rest assured that this is my prediction. This is, you know, I'm recording this today, but it's going to be released, you know, probably in 5 days, let's say. In five days from now, I'm going to be sitting, let me picture this. Yeah, I'm going to be in Kona. And I don't mean to make you jealous, but I'm going to be in Kona. It's going to be about 83 degrees. No humidity, maybe a slight breeze. And I'm going to be sitting under a palm frond gazebo on a chaise lounge. Sipping some ice cold water with a lemon slice. Toweling off my little princess and my little prince. Ah, being nice to the help. And then it'll start to rain. It'll rain. And we'll run around and scream. And you know what? It'll be awesome. It'll be awesome. I will chase a gecko for you, my friend. Worry not. Geckos in your honor. In your honor. Wild Hawaiian geckos will be chased by yours truly, moi, and Hudson. As you hear this, just think to yourself, you know, Dan and all that talk about being on Paxil, that's over now. Dan is in Hawaii right now chasing a gecko for me. Okay? All right. I'm blessed to have you in my life. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Just clap your hands.
just quit your chain.
The Bitterest Pill is produced by Jacket Media. JacketMedia.com, makers of fine podcasts since 2004.
The producers of The Bitterest Pill present Animal Rescue Force Friends, a show with three key elements, a boy, the animal kingdom, and a greedy poacher. See traps being set, geese running only on courage and bravery, a man with heart and soul made of steel, and most of all, the team of a lifetime. Join the fun at ARFF.TV.
Thank you for listening to this free podcast from The Bitterest Pill. If you would like to hear more, go to thebitterestpill.com. There you can purchase Pillbox and Pillbox 2, the complete first and second year of The Bitterest Pill Premium. Or you can become a Premium Pill subscriber and get the shows as they are released, instead of waiting for 3 years to get them free. Seriously. How can you be that patient? This podcast has been sponsored by The Bitterest Pill Premium, now only $2.99 a month. Pretty cheap, right? Thank you for listening.